You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We're back on a busy afternoon with the news breaking last night that took Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC in 24. We talked to the athletic director at Texas, Chris Del Conte, a couple of hours ago. We followed that up with the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, telling us quite a bit about what lies ahead. We'll get your reaction to that right now as we head to Kent in Georgia. Hey, Kent, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Good afternoon to you, too, sir.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I missed a little bit of Commissioner Sankey's interview, and he may have answered some of the questions that I have.
Sure.
But one thing I wanted to address is, at the beginning, when they said it was going to be 2 years before they joined the SEC, Texas and Oklahoma, I was like, well, they got plenty of time to work all this out. And I guess a year's enough time, too. But are we still going to have two divisions?
Kent, I would say it's highly unlikely that we will. Sankey said they had a number of different models. Most of them seem to be pointing toward no divisions, probably 9 games, meaning every school will have 3 permanent rivals that you'll play every year, and then the other 6 will be on a rotation. And I think the way they have it worked out, that you'll see everyone within a 2-year period.
That would work, too. So the SEC championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium that I enjoy attending every year will no longer be there, I guess.
Well, no, the game will stay. What's going to happen is you'll have the top 2 teams in the SEC playing. So you'll this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, that will remain. West, okay. That game is critical. That game is essential to the SEC.
Okay. Something you just said about the rivalries, that also is important. You know, I've been a long time Georgia Bulldog fan and a long time SEC fan. And so, you know, games like, the oldest rivalry in the Southeast, Georgia and Auburn, I think that game should continue to be played, as well as the world's largest cocktail
sure,
party.
Sure, no, I agree.
The Florida-Georgia game. Some of those games, they just need to keep.
Yeah, I mean, Ken, if we were sitting in a room and we said, what games can the SEC ill afford to lose, those would be 2 of the top ones. The others are some of them are pretty obvious. The real challenge is trying to find balance. And
yeah.
And you know, Georgia plays Florida. They play Auburn. The Tennessee game may or may not make the cut because you can't play everyone. And then you're trying to make this thing go 16 different ways. So somebody's going to get on the wrong end of the stick. That's for sure.
And some of the non-conference games, too. Of course, Georgia Tech is always, for years, it was a big game. It
sure
has been somewhat of a non-factor lately due to
really
the Georgia Tech's inability to compete with us. But
By the way, Ken, that goes for almost everyone.
I still see that game gone.
No, I don't think that game will leave. But, you know, games like South Carolina and Georgia, which is always the traditional first SEC game, games like that will likely be gone on a permanent basis. But we've already been through this. You remember. Back in the day, before divisions, Auburn, for example, played Tennessee every year. That game went away. Other games have gone away. Auburn used to play Tennessee early in the year. It was usually the first SEC game, and then Auburn played Georgia, Florida, and then Georgia, usually on successive weekends, and then Alabama. That was a pretty tough way to finish.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, of course, the way it's been lately, we always play our patchy games at the beginning of the season.
Right.
And we do have to end up, well, this coming year, Georgia's got a soft schedule all the way through, to be honest. But
But you know, that's because of the Oklahoma situation. Otherwise, they would have a really good schedule. So,
That would have been a good game. I hated to see us lose.
Hey, thank you very much. You know, it's I've talked to people that have been involved in all this, and it's complicated. I mean, but they've had plenty of time to figure it out, and I think the commissioner would not have said we will work this out within the next 90 days if they weren't pretty far along. There are countless models. You feed all this into various means, and the day this comes out is going to be insane, because there are going to be some fan bases that are going to be apoplectic, and we will be here to try to help you with that. Pops is in Northwest Arkansas. Pops.
Hello.
Hey there.
I have a idea I hadn't heard before, but the commissioner hit pretty close to what I was thinking. So, because I was listening to him while I was on hold. I listen to your show on a regular basis on the radio. What I was thinking was a nine SEC game with three open games. And since I'm an Arkansas fan, I'll go look like I'm with them. Arkansas would play their first nine games. Then three games would drop off and three other games would go on. They'd play that the third year, three games would drop off and the last three would go on. So every SEC team out there would play every other SEC team three out of 5 years.
Yeah, I think, and, Pops, I think that's really the goal. And by the way, I mean, I don't know about Arkansas, but there are some schools that haven't seen the other guy in 10 years. That's ridiculous.
And on the what I think about on the rivalries, if it's a true rivalry, they could use one of their three open games to fill that in the 2 years they don't meet.
Well, Pops, listen, not to interrupt you, but that's not how it's going to work. It's going to work with three permanent rivals. I appreciate everybody's with the suggestions, but I think the folks at the SEC are probably ahead of all of us in figuring this thing out. And some of them are going to start leaking out. Chris Del Conte said tonight that they're going to play A&M. That's obvious. They're going to play Oklahoma. And they want to play Arkansas as their third game. Now, whether that's possible remains somewhat up in the air. Remember yesterday? Well, you weren't here yesterday. You didn't happen to hear the call from AJ, did you?
No.
Have you ever heard something that was so embarrassing that you wanted to cry?
Yes.
That was AJ yesterday.
Sad.
And he is back tonight.
I'm back tonight. I promise you, I'm playing golf with a baseball tonight. I'm gonna put it on the green out of the tee box, baby. First of all, I wanna do B&W, but I wanna go ahead and recognize Dustin. I appreciate you apologizing. We all in the same boat. We're all having a good time. If you take me too serious, then I'm gonna start charging rent in somebody's head for me living there. But no, best of the week, Paul, was your interview with Jalen Hurts' dad.
Thank you.
I mean, got to be a proud guy. I know I would be. It's just an extraordinary story with Jalen and everything. And Paul, I'm trying to come back and let you put me back in the game. You benched me in the third quarter last night. So tonight, my worst of the week for you, Paul, was AJ from Pale City's call yesterday.
Well, mighty clever to use that against me when you were the guilty party. I'll grant you, that was
table.
Ingenious.
Hey, Coach Legend told me, he said, son, when you go in the field of battle, you're going to deal with these kind of things. You just got to get back up. I think I-Man and Squirrel both said it at one time. Every day's a new day. But wanted to also bring up the fact of one thing about I haven't heard much talk about, and that's information, the possibility of information sharing with NIL players. Say you quarterbacked at so-and-so for 2 years and learned their system and kind of know what the schematics are, and then you go to another school. Who's to say that they're not going to share information? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, sure. Is there a rule out there? I mean, you had it happens with coaches. It happens all the time. And there's nothing you can do about
change,
it.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I didn't know if there was some type of penalty or anything like that. And
there's
the,
nothing. It's a free world out there. If you learn something somewhere else, unless you can go to the next school and tell them all you know. That's why schools change signals all the time. That's why they change that. But by the way, what are you going to tell somebody that you couldn't pick up on film anyway?
Well, that's true too. But I mean, you know, signal stealing and things of that matter have been, you know, it's happened. It's occurred. It's not a secret that's went on, you know, throughout the years. But now, I didn't feel like anything. I didn't see or anything about any kind of rules or any kind of comments, or I haven't heard any comments or anything like that.
Randy, how are you grading this call so far?
It's barely a C.
How are you grading my call?
I don't want to be
subpar.
I'm really not much of a judge here. I just sit here and take the calls. Randy's a little more of a analytics person than I am.
Well, I was trying to behave because I mean, you know, I took all the heat off of Saban and off Legend, and now the topic of conversation is AJ. And how bad this, how bad that. Here's what I want to finish with, okay?
Please.
You know what rhymes with gators?
By the way, Randy said, please. When you said, here's what I want to finish with, Randy said, please.
Good. Randy, I still forgive
remember,
you,
remember
too.
Remember that guy
you
know, that spoke a couple of years ago, a long time ago? He was at one of those national conventions, and it was like the worst. It may have been Bill Clinton the first time he ever showed up. And he went on for an hour and a half, and people were sleeping. And then he said, and finally, yeah. And everybody stood up and cheered.
Well, have you fell asleep yet?
No, I have to stay awake, even if I'd prefer not staying awake right now.
Do you know what rhymes with haters?
Do I know?
I mean,
what,
gators.
Gators.
You know what rhymes with gators? I sound like Handsome Joe a while ago. Get a little
No, you don't sound like anything because we deep six you right there. We're coming right back. Oh, my goodness. We gave him a chance, and he got the Ziggy again. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Final 30 minutes of the, not 40 minutes of the week. I'm trying to rush ourselves out of here. Bud is up next. Hey, Bud, you're on the air.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
I wanted to remember back when you was in school when we played UCLA and Washington State in football back-to-back weeks? And
I sure did.
And had Troy Aikman and Samoa.
I remember that.
I talked with Samoa Samoa at the game. He told me, he said he'd pick to go to Alabama, but they couldn't spell his last name.
Well, that's funny.
I can understand that.
He chose wisely.
LSU. I'm good friends with Stanley Robertson. He's got to have the record, the scoring record, in the SEC for the most points in a season, not to have one play called for him. Not one. He's on the same team with Shaq and Chris Jackson, so he told me so he didn't have one play. He averaged 15 points a game, but didn't have one play called for him the whole year.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I remember Stanley.
He was a player, played quite a few years in the NBA and then went to Europe. But what I want to come talk to you about, I heard some inside stuff about your permanent opponents, and Tennessee's going to get Alabama. Of course, if we didn't get Alabama, we wouldn't go. We wouldn't have 20,000 people come to the game. We didn't get to play Alabama every year. We ain't lose or draw. That's the rivalry. If they told us our other two teams we was going to get would be Kentucky and Vanderbilt. And is there not no way they can put them teams together and play this one? Because we beat them 100-6 last year, combined score. 100, and we've gone decades. We went through these people that they've had children born and they graduate college, and we don't lose either one of them. I'm talking about we got 20-year runs on both of them two or three times. And I just wish that the SEC would give us, let us play Auburn or Georgia or Florida, anybody. But, you know, if you're going to win a championship, my motto is big ones get in line and small ones get in bunches. But how can you claim a championship when your permanent employees, and your permanent teams you're playing is Kentucky and Vanderbilt? I mean, they can play our cheerleaders in the games and be closer. Don't you think?
I'd have to think about that. Hey, thank you for the call. Vic is up next. Hey, Vic, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul, good evening.
Thank you.
Reason for my call is that yesterday, I think it was, in a conversation with a caller, you made the statement, which is undoubtedly true, that these coaches, to a man, don't like the transfer portal. And I kind of laughed to myself after that because I thought, well, if these sanctimonious hypocrites don't like it, that's even more reason to be for it. But I'd like to, and of course, Dabo Swinney leads the list there, but there are plenty of others. I'd like to make a couple of points about that. The first is that these universities all have lots of students on scholarships of various kinds, not just athletic, including full rides. And I know of no suggestion that those students should be restricted in whether they can transfer to another school. The second thing is that these coaches, as a group, have the least self-awareness of any group of people I've ever seen. Because they don't want the players to be able to transfer, but they don't want to go into a transfer portal. So I would say that if we're going to restrict the players on transfer portal, let's make the coaches go into a transfer portal when they want to take another job. I mean, the hypocrisy is just too much.
Yeah, you know, Vic, that's one reason why I've always been in favor of unlimited transfers, because it was criminal to restrain disallow a player to go somewhere when the coaches can leave with, and I say with no penalty. I mean, yeah, somebody, you know, they have these clauses in their contracts that these no competes or clauses where they owe however much money, and those are usually
somebody else is paying.
Yeah, they don't have to pay that. Although, I mean, I do know a coach in 25-30 years ago that literally couldn't go from one school to the next. A friend of mine was the head coach at TCU. He was offered the LSU job, and he couldn't leave because there was about a $500,000 buyout, and they were not going to pay it. And I finally asked him, I said, don't you have a couple of friends that could loan you the money? You'll make it back. And he didn't, and it turned out to be a colossal mistake because he ended up getting fired the next year and never really recovered from that.
That's pretty funny to think about that now. But, you know, these coaches, and again, I'm using Dabo Swinney, but he's not the only one, they think these players ought to be indentured servants like they used
to be. Well, yeah, no, and then...
And that's just not right. It's a free country, and they're free people.
They talk about how terrible it is, and then they get in their Ferrari and drive home.
You got it. You got it. All right, well, thank you, sir. That's what I wanted to say this evening.
Thank you very much. Yes, I've seen it. Mark is in New Hampshire. Hey, Mark, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey,
how's it going, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I love you, man. You're the shit. Could you talk about how...
That pains me to do that. He was a great caller, but he said a word that we cannot tolerate, so...
On to the next
one. I can't even get a compliment. The guy's trying to use a slang to compliment me, and he gets run. Sorry about that. Rock is up next. Ruck. Sorry about that. Ruck. Good afternoon. Maybe it's not Ruck. Okay, Ruck, you're on the air. But you do have to answer the phone when we go to you. Keith is up next. Hello, Keith. You're on the air.
Hello. Hey, thank you for having me, Paul.
Thank you.
I think I'll give you a compliment. I think you're the greatest host ever in the history of all radio.
Will get you on every time.
Hey, thank you, my friend. I've been listening to you since the early days of the 93.3, the Power Pig in Evergreen, Alabama.
Fantastic.
Read articles in the newspaper, didn't always agree with you when I was younger, but looking now that I've got older, thinking back, you always told the truth the best to your best abilities,
and
I always appreciate you. You're always fair, Paul, and I enjoy your guests. I talked to you yesterday for a moment and got cut off about the NIL and the scholarship limits. If the collective, because it was my understanding that years ago, Bar Bryant in Alabama, he had like 125, 130 football players on scholarship. And that's why the NCAA made the limit at 85 or whatever it is. Now, what's to say that any university has their 85 players, and the NIL can go to the preferred walk-ons and say, look, we start lining them up like cordwood. We're going to pay for their scholarship, give them a place, you know, hook them up. And what is it, there any oversight in that – you know, is there any, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, there are legitimate NCAA policies, but, you know, they're not really enforced in relation to NIL. I mean, we've had countless people come on the show, and including coaches who talk about these agents out there who are lurking in the background. Scholarships are, you're right, by the way, you're right about scholarships. Bryant wasn't the only one, but he was probably the greatest offender, where he would hoard players and they finally had to put an end to it. Hey, thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We still have 30 minutes remaining. You can give us a ring, 855-242-7285. 30 minutes on a Friday night. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Back final 30 minutes of our program, and let's check in with Pete, who is up next. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Man, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, great, Pete.
Do you remember old buddies John Longshow and Barry McKnight?
Oh, I sure do. They were great friends.
I thought there was a competition, but... But I think Barry McKnight understood, but Longshore never understood was, you know, they came on at 6 to 10 in the morning, and you came on from 2 to 6 in the afternoon.
Right.
From 6 to 10 in the morning, everybody getting ready to go to work and getting the kids ready to go to school, they were listening to radio till 8 or 9 o'clock, so they missed over half of the show. When you came on in the afternoon from 2 to 6, everybody was in a hurry trying to get home and trying to listen to Paul Feinbaum. I know I did. I had on a 90-mile truck, first truck I ever bought. But I knew the 90-mile truck was AM, FM radio. And I'd plan my day out so I could head out around 3 o'clock because I'd lose you because the signals go down. I'd leave you around 3, but then there's a hill over on 82. I'd pick you back up on about 3:30. I could listen to you the rest of the way home. So I got to where I could listen to you. And then in 2004, I bought me another brand new truck. Had one of them OnStar. What do you call it? OnStar.
Right, on your car.
I could pick you up. I worked out of town a lot, too. Back then, I could pick you up in Florida, Tennessee, where was I at? I could pick up the Paul Feinbaum show. And I had him people in Florida and Louisiana down there were listening to Paul Feinbaum in the afternoon when you come on. They never heard
yeah,
of
it. It was around that time we started expanding from a regional to, then we got picked up on satellite radio, so that was a big deal for us.
Yeah, I know it was. Really big deal. When that Cadillac Radio OnStar and that's what I'm gonna see them milling out. I wouldn't have another vehicle there. Can you hear me okay? Can you understand me okay?
Pete, you sound great.
Good, I had a little January 19th of 2021. I had to go in and have a leg amputee. I went in bad to south. And they basically about killed me, put a toe tag on me and left me back there for 10 days. Give me a 2% chance of living. And I woke up on March 6th. They took both my legs off. But what they had done is they had rammed my puncture plate down my throat. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't swallow. So they had toe tagged me for a dead man. There wasn't nobody except me. Because didn't nobody want a dead man on a resume. Anyway, I woke up on March 6th in a recovery room. Because they found the guy down the... the guy that does the thing puts you to sleep.
The anesthesiologist.
Yeah. He saw it in my throat. They took my first leg off between January 19th and January 29th.
So well, Pete, how are you doing now? Throat. You sound like you're doing pretty well.
No, I'm not doing good at all. I can't even.
Oh.
I can't even talk. Because of what they did to me, and they left me for dead. So. You got any good lawyers down there listening? I'm on good case. I'll give you my number out there. And you can,
okay.
Yeah, I'm giving you a call. But I got a PFP here that I want to get on your belt before I get off.
Okay, sure.
Do you remember my buddy, Jim Fife?
Do I remember Jim Fife? What a wonderful... You know, Jim Fife saved my life one time.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we were on a plane in the early 80s going to California. We were both covering the USFL team, and I was sitting in the last row on the plane, and they served us lunch, and I swallowed a pineapple. You know, they're like a big chunk of pineapple. And it got stuck in my throat. And
oh my God,
for about 20 seconds, I mean, I was like, nope, I was trying to get somebody's attention. Jim was sitting next to me, half asleep. And finally, I looked like, literally I'd gone crazy because I knew enough about that. You only have a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You've got about 45 seconds to a minute with no air going to your, and you are gone. And finally, I got Jim's attention. I was like waving my hands and he woke up. And he started slapping me on the back, and finally got the pineapple out. By that point, everybody in the plane had figured out something was up, and the doctor who was up in the front of the plane got back there, and he told me I probably had no more than 10 seconds. Jim used to joke, by the way, Pete. Jim was the Auburn play-by-play announcer. Jim used to joke that a lot of Auburn fans never forgave him for saving my life.
Yeah, I bet. That's what I was going to tell you.
But I tell you what, he literally did say, listen, you take care of yourself and try to call us again when you can. We appreciate it. We must go to a break, and we are coming back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back here, final few minutes of the week, and a memorable week. John is in Tennessee. You're on the air. Hello, John.
Hi. Is that going to be to the visions, Timmy, to the visions, when Texas the alcohol by joining the conference next year?
John, best guess, there won't be any divisions.
No, I don't mean divisions, but I'll...
Yeah, no. We'll say this a few more times before they come in, but very likely they won't have divisions. They will figure out a way to everybody plays three permanent opponents and then rotates the rest of the league. So you'll be seeing you'll have three games you know about every year, the same three, and then you'll see everybody else over the next 2 years. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Bubba is up next.
Hey, Paul, I'm 68 years old, and all my life, Alabama's always had winning records against every SEC team.
That's correct.
That changes when Oklahoma and Texas come. We are Oklahoma. We have a 2-3-1 record against Oklahoma. And we have a 2-7-1 record against Texas.
Wow. Well, that may get a little bit better next year, this coming year, but
thank you, Paul.
Thank you. I knew the Texas thing. That was No, that always came up with Coach Bryant, that he had a losing record against Texas. That's pretty interesting, but it's too late to do anything about that now. Yep. Ron is in New Jersey on a Friday night. Ron.
Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I want to have a light conversation. I don't have a smartphone, so I can't send a message in about the barbecue
okay. well,
thing. But I want to talk. I'm on a flip phone. I want to talk to you about
cuisine. By the way, I will tell you, Ron, I rue the day I ever got rid of my flip phone. Ten times better than
I agree with that. I agree with that. But I want to talk about more than barbecue. I want to talk about cuisine. The only native natural cuisine. I'm from Eunice, Louisiana, by the way.
Okay.
And the only natural native cuisine in the United States is Cajun food, like the gumbos and the jambalayas and the boudin and the sauce pecans and the cracklins and the crawfish bisque and all that other stuff.
So everything else had been brought into this country from somewhere else.
That's correct. When I barbecue, I don't use barbecue sauce. And every Thanksgiving, I do 4 or 5 Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm so sorry, turkeys. Every year for friends, I would do those big chickens, the capons and oven stuffers for their summer parties in their backyard.
Sure.
No sauces, just natural.
Natural.
And New Orleans, by the way, I want to tell you something about New Orleans. They're not Cajun. New Orleans is not it's not Cajun country. It's Creole. There's a difference. Northern Louisiana is not Cajun. Cajun country is a very small part of Louisiana. And the Cajun people, I'm not getting political here, but the Cajun people are probably the smallest minority in the country. I want to say one other thing about Louisiana, because I'm proud of Louisiana.
Okay.
The only native breed of a canine's a dog, right?
Canines are dogs, yes.
Yep. The only native canine in the United States is a Cataluna hound from South Louisiana.
Did you know that, Randy? This has been a revelatory phone call. Hey, Ron, thank you for educating all of us here on a Friday night. Sam is in Dallas. Hey, Sam.
What's going on, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, man, I got one question, man. I need you to be truthful now. Why do you think Georgia is the new dynasty in college football?
Well, let's start with just the overall position of the last couple of years. They've won 2 in a row. That speaks for itself. They're going to be the favorite to win this year. They have recruited on the same level probably the last 5 years as Alabama. And, you know, what does that mean to have a dynasty? A dynasty, to me, is when you are dominating.
You guys, the reason why I ask that question is the social media is always saying that Nick Saban's done fell off the cliff.
No.
Well, how is that
Sam, hold on a second. I want you to show me someone who has said that.
First of all, you, and I watch First Take all the time. You
okay.
always say that Nick Saban's this and that. And Stephen
no,
A.
What,
Smith
I, what I've
tell
said
you no.
On those programs is that the here's exactly what I said. Because I think Steve and I have had the exact same conversation about 6 times.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
exactly.
Like, okay, I know what he's going to say. It's like a movie. We know our lines. I have said that the window to Nick Saban's dynasty is closing. And
but how is it closing when he just signed another number one recruiting class?
What does that mean, Jimbo? Hold on, Jimbo.
No.
You're going to force me to have the same conversation I've had with Stephen
no.
A. Which I don't want to do.
Go ahead. Go ahead, man. That, hey, I'm good.
Signing the
go
number
ahead.
One recruiting class, while important, doesn't guarantee you anything for this reason. Are you aware that of the last 100 blue chip players that Alabama has had in the last 5 or 6 years, 42% left? So you're not going to keep the whole class. The transfer portal,
definitely
NIL,
not with
all
this NIL deal.
On top of that,
yeah.
It's important that you do sign that class, but it's also more important that you have the right quarterback, which he has had. Nobody's had a better run of quarterbacks in college football history than Nick Saban has recently.
Yeah, but right now he doesn't sign both of the coordinators, so he's coming back. He's coming back to town, man. Nick Saban's not one of them type of guys that's just gonna.
No, Sam, he's absolutely not. But does he have a better program today than Kirby Smart is the question.
Does he, though? You answer the question.
I've already answered it. He doesn't.
I say yes, he does.
Okay. Well, by the way, I'm getting all choked up. You're welcome to say that. And I'm welcome to refer you to the last two national championships won by Georgia. We're out of time. We could have this conversation all day. We're probably going to have it all year. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.